How has pop American Christianity replaced the Holy Trinity with the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Has American Christianity Failed? It's written by regular guest Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Has American Christianity Failed? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Has American Christianity Failed?
I want to build a team of some very bad people who I think can do some good.
Y'all jokers must be crazy.
This is the deal. You disobey me, you die. Try to escape, you die.
You got a boyfriend?
You irritate or vex me.
I'm known to be quite vexing. I'm just forewarning you.
You die.
If they get caught, we throw them under the bus.
What a ride!
Let's play!
Come on, got some better too?
I love this guy.
Not good.
Don't forget, we're the bad guys.
Are you sweet talking me? All of that chit chat's gonna get you hurt.
That is the movie trailer for the film Suicide Squad. It is another, I was going to say it's another superhero comic book movie, but it's not about superheroes, I don't think. Not exactly supervillains either. I heard it characterized by one of the actors who appears in the film during Oppressor that it's not good versus evil, it's bad versus evil. What do you make of a film like this? Certainly has some star power in it and also has Batman, so Batman fans will like to at least watch the scenes that he is in. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon, August the 11th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to review the movie Suicide Squad with Pastor Ted Giese. Then we'll get an update on the November elections with Mark and Molly Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and the Federalist. We'll round everything off today doing our series, Christ in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 23 with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. You can join us over the next 2 hours. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line for all of our listeners, but especially our beloved on-demand listeners, whenever, wherever you listen, 618-223-8382. Joining us to review the movie Suicide Squad, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Ordinarily, when we're doing a comic book movie, and that's pretty much every week nowadays because that's almost all the movies are, we're talking about superheroes, but we're not really talking about heroes in this film, are we?
No, not really. These are villains, and usually they're actually kind of like, I mean, they're not the A-grade villains. Like, the A-grade villains would be people like the Joker, and he does show up in this movie, but he's kind of on the outside fringe of everything, just like Batman is. These are like the tier down from that. This is like the third line in for hockey players or something like that. Third string or something like that. These are not the big villains. They're the little ones. Sidekick villains, even. One of the villains in this is Harley Quinn. She's the girlfriend of the Joker, played by Margot Robbie in this particular movie.
Okay, so this is in the DC universe, or actually the extended universe. Please explain the various universes that are the stuff of so many of the superhero films that we're seeing nowadays.
Mostly what people are familiar with is the Marvel Universe. That's the one with, like, Thor and the Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy, stuff like that. This is the DC Universe. So this is Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, the Justice League, that kind of thing. So they're kind of coming just a little bit in behind Marvel. Marvel's been really knocking them out of the park for the last number of years, and now DC is kind of slowly getting into it, and they're defining themselves differently than the Marvel ones. The Marvel ones are maybe a little more of a lighter touch, a little more humor, a little more lighter in general. The DC ones are more dark, more brooding in general. And then the Suicide Squad movie is quite a lot darker again in terms of these films. I guess maybe like you have these things happening where you've got a character in the one movie, one franchise, the Marvel franchise, and you'll have a similar character in the DC franchise, because these two companies have been kind of competing with each other for decades and decades and decades, going all the way back into the 30s and 40s. So in a way, this Suicide Squad is a collection of the dregs of society, the worst of the worst. They have kind of minor superpower abilities. They're referred to as metahumans within the DC Extended Universe. And in a way, they're kind of maybe similar to what you would have had in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, where those were all criminals that then came together in the Marvel universe and, you know, do something good for the universe. But in this case, they're not as quote-unquote redeemable as, characters. They don't have quite the same hearts of gold or et cetera, as you find in the Marvel universe. This is a darker story altogether.
And this movie, I take it, is kind of a sequel of a sequel. You had Man of Steel, which was sequeled by the recent Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, Dawn of Justice.
Dawn of Justice. And this takes place chronologically at the end of that movie. Is that correct?
It does, yeah. So essentially, one of the premises behind this movie is the question of what if Superman had decided to fly down, rip off the roof of the White House, and grab the president right out from the Oval Office? Who would have stopped him? Right. So this is after Batman versus Superman. So if you haven't seen this story, there's a spoiler. At the end of it is the apparent death of Superman. So in the wake of that, now, what happens next? So you have this Amanda Waller, played by Viola Davis, who works for the government as an operative, kind of a CIA sort of clandestine sort of individual. And she suggests putting together this team of misfits into a group they could deploy to take care of situations, perhaps maybe like that. They don't know. Maybe the next Superman's going to be not somebody who shares their values and could destroy the world. So she's hoping that this group of bad people could be maybe put to some good use. But she herself, actually, as the movie unravels, is shown to be a bit of a villain. She has managed to gather together these criminals into a penitentiary, which is run by people just as deplorable as the inmates that they're incarcerating. And then she's coercing them into working for her, these criminals.
We often talk about an arc of redemption in the story, and you use the word unredeemable a lot in your review when it comes to the main characters of Suicide Squad. What are we talking about?
Well, these are people who have no hope in and of themselves, the various characters, to a greater and lesser degree. They are self-aware of their sinful condition, very literally. Their sinful condition. There's a character in it called El Diablo, played by Jay Hernandez, who is this fire-wielding, he can just conjure fire out of thin air, and he's a gangster, like a gang member. He's got tattoos of a skeleton over his face, like a skull tattoo over his face. And in a fit of anger, he had this fire-wielding ability explode, and he killed his wife and kids. And he knows that he's done this. He's remorseful. He doesn't want to use his fire-starting abilities, and he's being coerced into this by this Amanda Waller character. But he doesn't want to do it. But at the same time, he acknowledges something that's kind of partly true, you know, from a Christian point of view, we would say, he says, you know, God didn't give me this, like the fire-starting ability. He sees it as an evil thing that, has happened in his life. God didn't give me this, but then he asks the question, he says, why would God take it away? So he's at this hopeless point where he doesn't even think that it's possible that God could love him. So the world thinks these are the worst of the worst villains. They're put into a, you know, they say they threw him in a hole and then threw away the hole. Like, these are people that no one wants to have around. And they are not receiving any grace from anybody, and they don't think that they deserve any grace. And they can't fathom the idea that anyone could love them.
Now, some of these characters are go beyond the... They go beyond the merely kind of flawed, as you mentioned here, kind of living with remorse and regret with no resolution to it, into the psychotic part of what would probably not make this a kid's film, is that a couple of these characters are psychopaths.
Yeah, you know, and sitting in front of me in the theater, there was like some 10-year-old kid, and in Canada it's rated PG, and in the States it's rated PG-13. But really, yeah, this isn't a movie for kids. There is the character of the Joker, who's clearly psychotic. He's a serious career criminal, gangster, and psychotic. And he has managed they have a little bit of a backstory for Harley Quinn, where she's a psychiatrist, and she thinks she's helping fix him. But in actuality, he's slowly bringing her into his psychosis. And then they become this kind of Bonnie and Clyde kind of character, like a couple. And so, like, Bonnie and Clyde, you know, like that, even that kind of seems quaint today. But maybe you might remember from 1994, there was an Oliver Stone movie with Mickey and Mallory as this two psychotic couple killers. It was the movie called Natural Born Killers. It's maybe even more like that. Or maybe like Sid and Nancy, like the punk rocker types. These are like a volatile couple. And some people will look at this and go, oh, I wish I had a relationship like that where they just totally love each other and would do anything for each other. Yeah, except they're also committing crimes together, and they're both psychotic. And this is not a really good scenario for anybody to emulate or look up to.
Real quickly, before we take our break, this is a reboot of the Joker, different character. Heath Ledger is obviously... died, but they both played kind of compelling psychopaths. What do you just personally make of the reboot of the Joker character?
Jared Leto, who plays the Joker, is quite a good actor. He won an Oscar for Dallas Buyers Club, where he played a transsexual individual, transsexual man, I guess. At any rate, he really goes in for the whole transformation in this, and he's kind of the dapper, well-dressed Joker. He's often like in, you know, you'll see him in like a tuxedo, right, with a machine gun, that kind of a thing. But he's also very gangster in like the style of the tattoos that he has, and he's got a grill in the front. He does a very good job of being, you know, predictably the Joker, if that makes any sense.
Pastor Ted Gacy is our guest. A few more questions for him on the movie Suicide Squad on the other side of the break. It's Thursday, August the 11th. When we come back, we'll conclude our review of Suicide Squad, and we'll start our weekly update on the November elections with Mark and Molly Hemingway.
And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. the best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're reviewing the movie Suicide Squad. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. Ted, two final questions for you. You say that there is a strong thread element of works righteousness in this film. What do you mean?
I think that, yeah, there is. And like you find this all over the place in movies, the idea that people can work their way out of their own problems. But I think it's maybe even more pronounced and maybe even more obvious, particularly for perhaps the Lutheran viewer who's watching it, because there's another sense to how that's all playing out. These characters are, like Will Smith plays one of them. He plays a character called Deadshot. And they're in this prison, like penitentiary, deep in the, like it's a black ops, kind of black site penitentiary, deep in the the swamps of Louisiana. They literally don't think they're ever getting out of that place. But Will Smith's character, who brings a lot of charm to the movie, Will Smith's character, he wants his daughter to think well of him, and he wants his daughter to succeed. So when he's offered an opportunity to be part of this suicide squad and go do like missions for the government, basically, there's a glimmer of hope that maybe he could get something better for his daughter. Maybe his daughter might think better of him if he could manage to somehow work his way out of it. So now there's this desire to work your way out of the situation. He thinks that maybe he could use his skills, as bad as they are, towards some sort of good. And then this is where it turns on a dime, and I think this is the spot that Lutherans need to kind of like perk up and notice if they're going to see the movie. And people don't have to run out and see it. I'm not saying that. But if you have seen it, take notice of this. The character of Amanda Waller, she takes advantage of their desire to perhaps redeem themselves. And she promises them, if you do all of these things for me, then I will shave some time off of your prison sentence. Or I will give you a little perk in prison. So it's almost like, you pay me some money, you show me some spiritual devotion, you do a work of supererogation, you do something, some good work, And then I'm going to give you something in return. So this is like the bogus promises that are attached to things like indulgences and penance and things of that nature, which Lutherans, of course, have spoken against, confessed against, and quit the practice of within the Church Catholic. But I think that is something that's very interesting, is that these are people who are in a terrible, terrible place, who have a faint glimmer of possibility that they could maybe have something in terms of redemption, and then they're taken advantage of.
With only about 20 seconds here, does the movie glorify evil?
I would say that it both it does and it doesn't. It has a visual style that does make these characters compelling, but at the same time, it is very serious about the fact that they're bad people, and they know they are. So there's just no hope in the movie. It's kind of like it sets everything up in terms of the fallen nature of the world, but I just wish that there was some like hope in it, like some actual real hope, like like that Jesus was an answer to their hopelessness.
You can read Pastor Ted Gacy's review of the movie Suicide Squad at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Gacy has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thank you.
Thank you.